I don't know what kind of time we have, or it's, I'd be happy to if there's time. Yeah, yeah, sure, absolutely.
You know, of course, there are books also for HubSign.
I want to hear family members ask.
The pressure's on. They know the scoop.
We couldn't ask the right question.
That's true. That's true.
When is the new book coming out?
It'll be out next spring, 2013. I have to finish it first. I have to do June, so I'm a little nervous. Yeah.
So you were going to be this pre-med student, and then you decided to be a writer.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, organic chemistry was part of it. You know, but a lot of it was that I was taking these religion courses. Back then, they encouraged, and they may now encourage people who are pre-medicine to get humanities majors, because they thought it would look better, diverse, you know, because the ethical issues involved. And so I chose a religion major largely because I took a couple of courses in which literature was featured prominently in the ethical dimensions of literature, and took a course called Quest for Human Destiny. What a great course. You know, I mean... And I just fell in love with the literature, and that professor was very dynamic, and took more courses. Tolstoy played a big role in that. The Death of Ivan Illich, which is a short story that completely seduced me when I read it. So there was a lot of things that kind of combined that just I just knew that's where I wanted to go. Also, I was working, I write about this in here, I was working as a night nurse, nursing assistant in a hospital that included a lot of terminally ill children. And I knew I wasn't going to be able to maintain the kind of distance that was necessary to be a successful physician. So I instead decided to write about those experiences. That was my way into it. And luckily I was at the University of Iowa, writing was in the air, and no one asked questions like what kind of job you're going to get, and because everyone was a writer. And so it was just a combination of accident and choice, but yeah. That's what happened. My grandmother, to her grave, still thought that maybe I could go back. There was still time. You know, I think my mom's still holding out hope for that. I'm only 45, you know. How long does it take to get a medical degree?
And so then, why did you incorporate so much of nature into it?
That was unexpected. I mean, I always was interested in science, and I think that's what drew me into pre-medicine to begin with. I was just in love with the poetry of it, the way the body worked, the way the universe works. You know, I love this. Math was a bit of an issue for me, which was a problem, you know, moving on to the more advanced classes. So I was always kind of enthralled by that, but did not think of myself as a nature writer until the floods, and I started writing about that transformative experience and sharing it with friends at conferences, and suddenly that emerged as a passion. It was completely unexpected. You know, it really was the land itself that drew me to that kind of writing.
So I haven't read this book on this about the prairie grassland. Mm-hmm. I've been here to see the desert grassland.
Well, yes. I haven't done much here. I mean, when my of course, I had a lot of family here, and you know, I think this place was my first experience of what I consider to be wilderness. I absolutely fell in love with the Sonora Desert when I first visited it, when I went down to Green Valley to visit my grandparents down there and up to Tucson to visit my grandparents, grandmother here. Loved the, you know, I'd never been around a place like that where you could get lost, where there were mountains on the horizon, where these amazingly exotic plants and animals and coyotes howling. I fell in love with it. I really did. And loved Tucson, you know, going out to Gary's house and the adobe houses that, you know, seemed to come right out of the earth itself. It was a different kind of living. Then I, you know, different kind of connection to the natural environment than I was used to. And so it's always been a part of the way I think it helped me, you know, move towards a love of that and, you know, the goal to try to restore some of it to the Midwest. That's what that book is about. Yeah. It's a conversion story. It's the way I look at it. You know, I've written bad poetry, you know, but that actually was my way into creative nonfiction. I took a poetry class at Iowa with Paul Deal. Steve and I were talking about a really beloved teacher at the University of Iowa at a course called Lyric Structures not really, it wasn't Quest for Human Destiny, that title, but somehow I ended up in that course. And my relationship to language had always been one of fear. I'm terrified of public speaking since I was a kid, and was terrible at grammar. You know, I got my first composition paper back in college, and it was a D. He said, A for good ideas, but grammatically, illiterate was the comment that I got. So I bought, books and had to re-educate myself. And but poetry showed me what language can do, this other possibility, the way it can be manipulated to express not some grammatical rule, but sort of the rules of the heart. And that was completely revelatory to me. And Paul Diehl is the one that introduced me to that. And from there, I moved into creative nonfiction. So I think the two are very closely linked. I think creative nonfiction and poetry are closer than they are to fiction because of that close attention to imagery and detail and the music of language. Not that that isn't possible in fiction. I'm going to make that clear.
A reputation in the literature of being a center for writing fiction in various forms.
Right.
Not technical writing, but literature. It also has a reputation from different sources as being kind of a political hotbed, particularly the Middle East. Are you aware of that?
Oh, particularly what? I'm sorry.
The Middle East?
Uh-huh. It's a political hotbed for that?
Well, as I say, from what I read, not from in Iowa, so I don't have the boots on the ground experience, but I know that a periodical that I subscribe to titled The Washington Report of the Middle East, which really concentrates itself on Israel and Palestine, which we read all the time about in the newspapers, but the point of view is quite different in the Washington Report. And one of the sections of the magazine, each book is regional, New York City, San Francisco, and so forth. But Iowa also appears very often. So apparently that's something new to you.
It is new to me.
Okay.
I had no clue.
It might be something. Of course, it's aside from the purpose here.
Yeah.
But it's the Iowa Lake, and I was curious. You are aware of the. Well, why don't you respond just as the writing of the literature part of it? How important or influential do you feel it is in American writing?
Huge. I mean, it was the first MFA, first degree program in creative nonfiction, or in creative writing. Which, brought writers into the academy before, they were out in the streets starving, and they could actually draw a salary and get, health care and things like that, which is, that was a huge, huge shift, and it continues to be influential. It was just named one of the International Cities of Literature. I can't remember the official term of that. Very, very proud of that. And, some people talk about it as if it does that in spite of its location, or despite its location in Iowa. I think it's because of it. I really do. It's a place where people can go. They're free to explore their creative interests in a place that's nurturing. It's small enough, again, where, you feel that. It's a tangible presence in the city. Literature matters. Books matter. Writing matters. Oh, yeah. I mean, again, I didn't appreciate it when I was an undergraduate. We had Nobel Prize winners coming through, and, it was just an embarrassment of riches. And now I look back and regret on all the things I missed out on and didn't, but it was every week, Every week there was some amazing writer coming through, and I think that just kind of sunk in. It just wasn't on the radar for me professionally until I was in Iowa City, which is unapologetically literary, and that's nice. Well, it's in here. I write about it. Yeah, I do. So.
We should call it a night. John's going to be here to sell books and sign books, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much.